Shalom, Chevarim. Baruch haba lachol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, as we swept backwards through the ancient portals of time, we entered the sacred pages of Moses' second book, known reverently to us as Shmot, or in the English language as Exodus. Its hoary alphabet sprang into words which conducted us into the unwithered wilderness of remote ages and deposited us before the outer door in the courtyard which enclosed that fascinating structure which God had commanded Moses to erect in the desert. Called variously Ohel Moed, Tent of the Congregation, Ohel Ha'adut, the Tabernacle of Testimony or of Covenant Relationship, it is more simply known as the Mishkan or Tabernacle, a title which correctly conveys the idea of God dwelling in the midst of his people. In this connection, there is a quaint yet rather sweet Jewish tradition to the effect that our great teacher Moses, having received God's assurance that forgiveness had been granted to Israel, nevertheless besought the Eternal that he would vouchsafe some visible indication of this pardon. Whereupon God replied, "As truly as thou livest, I will let my Shekhinah dwell among them, so that all may know that I have forgiven Israel. My sanctuary in their midst will be a testimony of my forgiveness of their sins, and hence it may well be called a tabernacle of testimony." Turning from tradition to revelation, it is true that the Eternal declares the purpose of the tabernacle when he commanded Moses, "Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." This, then, is the highly symbolic and spiritually instructive edifice with which we now find ourselves in alluring investigation. We have already searched the symbolism of the door and its fourfold color scheme. Passing through the door in the outer courtyard, the first feature that confronts us is the altar. You will find reference to this significant instrument in Exodus chapters 27 and 38. It was a square structure, 5 cubits long, 5 broad, and 3 high, and made from the wood of a particular species of acacia tree called mimosi, hard and durable. The Tanakh refers to it as the shittim tree. It is not to be confused with the so-called acacias in England and the United States. This altar was overlaid with a metal named in Hebrew nechoshet, which, although translated into English by the word brass, was more likely to have been copper, because brass, as you know, is an alloy. At the 4 corners of the altar were 4 projections called horns, and these were also made of acacia wood, overlaid with copper, and projected upward, and in all likelihood would have won peace with the altar itself. Our ancient rabbis are correct when they declare that the separate parts of the tabernacle each had a symbolical significance. Well, I am sure none of us will have to exert much mental exercise to solve the symbolism of the altar. The word altar always suggests sacrifice. Indeed, the Hebrew word for altar, mizbeach, is derived from the root zavoach, meaning to slaughter for sacrifice. The first altar of which we have any biblical record is that built by Noah upon emerging from the ark after the great deluge, and it stood alone under the heavens. Later, the patriarchs erected altars in places where God had graciously appeared to them, as we read, for instance, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, that our father Abraham builded an altar unto the Eternal, who appeared unto him. Thus, the altar conjures to the mind the concept of a righteous meeting place and meeting base between a holy God and sinful man. So far as man is concerned, the altar is a passage to God, through which man expresses his acknowledgement that, whatever he may appear to be in the eyes of man, in the eyes of God he falls short. He is a sinner, a transgressor. Whilst so far as God is concerned, the altar is a medium through which God expresses to man the fact of the divine acceptance of the sacrifice offered in substitution and expiation of man's sin, and the blessed fact of divine forgiveness and restored fellowship. Because of a reference in the first chapter of Malachi to the altar as being also God's shulchan, that is, table, as well as the place of worship and approach through blood sacrifice, our rabbis also regarded the altar as a symbol of mediation and designated it by the term paraclete, which means an intercessor, a mediator. In this regard, it is most interesting to observe how well our ancient rabbis understood the symbolic implications of this eloquent furnishing, as is illustrated by their quaint statement that the four Hebrew consonants which make up the word shittim, the name of the wood from which the altar was made, stand respectively for shalom, peace, tova, good, yeshua, salvation, and mechilah, forgiveness. If the acacia conveys such a comforting message to our hungry and dissatisfied souls, how well might we apply the words of Moore to its frondy foliage? Our rocks are rough, but smiling there the acacia waves her yellow hair. Lonely and sweet, nor loved the less for flowering in a wilderness. But, my friends, there are still further treasures from Tanakh for us, ere we leave our meditations on the subject of the altar. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, we learn other thought-provoking and instructive features. If, for any reason, an altar was to be erected anywhere, so far at least as the body of the altar was concerned, there was a divine prohibition against using any implement to build it. Such altars could only be built of earth or unhewn stone. I am persuaded that the spiritual lesson underlying this prohibition is consonant with the entire instruction latent in this theme. Earth and unhewn stone are free from the marks of man's effort. These materials appear just as they left the hands of God, and I feel the divine proscription is to educate us to realize that, as with our father Abraham, human works and merit is not the basis of man's salvation and acceptability with God, but rather that God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. There is yet another injunction to which I would like to refer, and which seems to teach the same spiritual lesson. The Eternal God forbids the priests to ascend the altar by steps. A flight of steps or a stairway speaks of human effort and ingenuity in upward progress. Therefore, such is proscribed as being an unacceptable approach to God. Not human effort and merit, but divine grace, is set forth as the basis of reconciliation with God. Because of this restriction against steps, our rabbis have conjectured that a slope of earth on the south side of the altar led gradually up to it. A final word about the horns of the altar. Psalm 118 instructs us that the substitute sacrifice was bound securely to these horns when about to be sacrificed, and it was upon the horns of the altar that the sacrificial blood was sprinkled. The horn is the symbol of power and perpetuity, and the blood sprinkled thereon testifies to the eternal power and efficacy of that which the sacrifice typifies. Ah, we've moved on a step farther now. Not only does the altar provide us with very rich and satisfactory symbolism, but also the sacrifices associated with it are surely typical. We have seen the spiritual reality behind the symbolism. Do you now inquire after the reality underlying the typology of the sacrifices, particularly seeing that sacrifices have now ceased? My friends, one of our ancient rabbinic traditions, though extravagant in its sentiment, may yet serve as an adequate pointer to our thoughts. It is said that the altar of the celestial sanctuary had a jewel graven on it with the name of the Messiah, and a voice cries aloud, "Return, ye children of men," like the door, and the four colors in the door. So the altar, too, brings us face to face with the Messiah, whose shalom, peace, is tovah, good, and whose Yeshua, salvation, brings eternal mechilah, forgiveness. That is why the name of the Messiah is Yeshua. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.